Are you? I didn't hear that. Whoa. Say it again. I know that one.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul. Are you well this morning? That wellness, that peace, and all those things that we need come from a special place of intimacy with Jesus. Are you in that place this morning? And I just want to just confirm what Franco and what Eve shared concerning someone sitting here, that you feel that you're 100 miles away. And I want to say to you today that yes, maybe you feel like that and everything around you is dry. There's just no life, and there's nothing in all that you do. You're not making headway in anything. And I pray today that Jesus would come with his Holy Spirit, and that he would saturate you, and that he would take away the dust of the past. All that dust of the past, that he would take it away, and it would wash you, and that he would restore you, yeah, right here this morning. That you would leave here this morning changed. That he would touch your heart, that he would lift you up, that he would make you strong, and that it would establish you. Amen? Glory, Jesus. Oh, it is well with my soul. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Let's pray. Can I ask you to close your eyes? Father, we love you. And we know that it's not in strength, but it's in you. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would come down in this place like a mist. And Father, as that mist saturates the leaves in the forest and just brings life in that forest, that your Spirit, that your sweet Holy Spirit would saturate you this morning. That you'd saturate and that you would touch every heart. And Father, I thank you that life will be as you would touch, and that you'd release your sweet Holy Spirit to every life here today in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that as you saturate, that you'd prepare for the word, that your word, Father, would take root, and that your word would be established as you would saturate with your Spirit today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure. I've been quite excited about today. The Lord is speaking, and he's been speaking to us about so many things. He's been preparing us for so many things. He's been confirming his word over and over and over again that he's wanting to do something new in our lives. He wants to release a portion of his Spirit. He wants to release life on us so that we can become the people that he's called us to be. He wants us to be strong, and he wants us to be effective when it comes to all the things concerning him, when it comes to kingdom. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready for what Jesus is going to do in your life? I pray and I believe with all my heart that you're going to leave your change this morning. Do you pray? I can see some of you are nodding yet. Do you pray? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We all pray differently. I know some of us, when we come and pray, we're quiet and we can't hear you. But you're praying. And then some of us, when we pray, and you know what, we're walking up and down like we're on this march. And we're loud and our hands are all over the place. And our prayer is just all over the place, and we're speaking the word and we're declaring and we're prophesying, and we've got so many different styles of prayer. And I want to just give you three quick examples this morning. Just hope I can do it right. I can. Franco says I can. I woke up with this on Thursday morning. I woke up laughing. Lenny woke me up and she brought me some tea. And then she left for school and I dozed off. The Lord began speaking to me. And I just woke up with a chuckle, laughing in my sleep because of what Jesus had showed me and what I'd seen. And then when I got into the car and on my way to work again, the Lord spoke to me. And I just wanted to speak to you about this morning. But before I get there, maybe when you pray, you're like a boxer. How many boxers do we have here this morning? How many people in the congregation are a box? Aha, okay, Gary's put his hand up. And for some of us, it's like that. We're like a boxer. We're all over the lounge, and we're going around, and all around the lounge, and we become hesitant in what you're wanting to do. There's no confidence in what I'm wanting to put forth in my prayer, and I step back, and I'm waiting and waiting for the Lord just to put something in my spirit so I can go back in again, and I can knock my opponent out. But the moment I step back, my opponent sees that as a sign of weakness, and he assesses me just through that. And when I come back in again, he knocks me just between the eyes like that, gives me a blue eye. And we wake up in the morning with this big fat headache because the enemy has planted me between the eyes, because I wasn't sure of my prayer, I wasn't sure of my attack or what Jesus is wanting to do in my prayer life. At that moment, there's uncertainty. I have no confidence in bringing across what I'm wanting to do in prayer. And then there's another one. There's the MMA fighter. Do you all know what an MMA fighter is? We all see it on TV where they put these two guys in this ring and they close the ring off so you can't run away after that. They seal it off. So when you get in, you're committed. You're committed. But when the opponents, when they face each other, you know what, for an MMA fighter, it's about installing fear. So if you look at a lot of them, maybe he's got his left eyebrow, he's shaved it all off. He's got a grenade tattooed on his left cheek. He's got a stick of dynamite tattooed on his right shoulder. And he's airbrushed some extra muscles. So he looks fierce. So that when you stand there looking at him, you're going to think, oh my goodness, I'm in big trouble. And you know what? Satan does just that. We come prepared in our prayer time. And you know what? We want to tear down the kingdom of darkness, but Satan comes with fear. And the moment he comes with fear, he's got you. He's got you. And it's not 5 minutes, he's got you tapping out. Because that's what happens in MMA. When you cannot go any further, you tap out. And then your opponent's won the match. And then there's the soldier. We all know what a soldier looks like when he goes in, when you enlist in the army. They give you all the kit. They give you the uniform. They give you the boots. They give you the gun. They give you all the rounds. Carry some grenades. And they prepare you for what lies ahead so that you're equipped. You know what you're doing with all that stuff that they've given you. And maybe for some of us, we're armed, but we're not loaded in prayer. You're armed, but you're not loaded in prayer. It's like taking a youngster that knows nothing about anything. You enlist him into the army, you give him an R4, you give him all the kick, and you tell him, okay, off you go, you're going to put him in the front line. And while he's walking through the bush, and the pathway is a bit wet, he slips and he shoots his big toe off. Yeah? Because he's not equipped. He doesn't know what to do with what he's been given. And for some of us, our prayer life is like that. We could be given so much. Jesus has got so much for us in his word when it comes to prayer and the outworking of that in our lives. We're armed and loaded with our prayer. And I just wanted to give you those examples before actually getting to my message. If you want to succeed, and you want to win, you want to overcome, we need to come to a place of advantage where we have the advantage over the enemy. We have the advantage in everything in life. When I've got that advantage, you know what? I'm going to succeed in everything that I do. I'm going to succeed in everything that I do or touch. Let's turn to Psalm 62, verse 1 to 2. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. And then let's turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him. Not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. For you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. The Lord is my shepherd. If we know anything about sheep and when sheep graze, the best times, it's early in the morning and it's late in the evening. Early in the morning, the dew, it rests and it sits in the grass. So while they're foraging on that grass, they're getting a good intake of water. It's the same in the evening. They'll forage in the evening where there's good light, when the moonlight is at its best, and that water also sits on that grass late at night. The sheep will forage then as well. That water intake that they consume while they're foraging on the grass makes them fit and strong. When we are with the Good Shepherd in our closet time, be it in the morning or in the evening, the anointing will begin to rest on us. It will feed us and keep us strong and fit. And if you're not spending time with Jesus in the morning, if you're not spending time with Jesus in the evening, if you haven't come into that place of quietness with Him, you're not going to be fit and you're going to be strong for what He's calling you to do. I know in my own prayer life, when I'm at work, I walk around praying in the Spirit. There are many distractions, but I carry on praying. But my special time with Jesus is in the evenings. Lynn spends time with the Lord in the mornings, but I like to spend time in the evening when Lynn has gone to bed with my Lord Jesus Christ. And when I come to Him in the evenings, I'm quiet before Him. I'm quiet before Him so that He can speak to me, that He can confirm His word for me. I had that picture of Psalm 23 on my way to work on Thursday morning, and I saw the Good Shepherd, and I saw the sheep, and the Good Shepherd was watching over the sheep. And what the Lord showed me there is that when the wolves came, the sheep never got up to defend themselves against the wolves. The shepherd got up and he chased the wolves away. It was the shepherd's job to keep the sheep safe, to keep them in that place of contentment and peace. Let's turn to Luke 10, verse 40. We all know the story about Mary and Martha. We know it very well. Where Martha was busy with so many things. But in the Word it says that Mary chose the good part to come and sit at Jesus' feet. And I want to look at that as two different churches. There's the one church that's busy with so many things. And then there's the other church that sits at Jesus' feet. The church that chose the good part. The people that chose the good part. We can be busy with so many things and miss out because you haven't got that relationship and fellowship with Jesus. Where it says that Mary chose the good part, the Greek word for good part is agathos, which means useful and beneficial. It is often translated into good works. So what the Lord is saying, if you spend time waiting on me, seated at my feet, it'll put something into you. You'll not only look good, but you'll also be good for something. And I just feel that in some way, the body of Christ, the church, they're in a place where they look good. They look good, but there's no power and there's no demonstration of the Spirit. And Jesus is wanting to bring us back into that place, into a place of effectiveness. We can look good, we can do all the right things, but lack the anointing. We need to wait in His presence, allow the ministry, all ministry, including warfare, to be born out of a relationship. Everything that we do needs to be born out of a relationship with Jesus. If it's not, you're doing it in your own strength. We can preach a great message. We can sing great songs. We can say all the right stuff. Have all the natural talents. No anointing, it's empty. There's no life in it. There's no life in it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is bringing the church back to a place of power and anointing. Let's turn to Psalms 37, and I just want to read for you from verse 7. You all there? Verse 7, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him and patiently lean yourself upon Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait and hope and look for the Lord in the end shall inherit the earth. Verse 34. Wait for and expect the Lord, and keep and heed His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. In the end, when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And I want to get back to that word inherit. Waiting on the Lord, what does it do? It brings with it the ability to possess our inheritance. When you wait on Jesus, when you wait on the Lord, when you're in that, in your closet, in that quiet time with Him, it brings you into the place where you've got the ability to possess your inheritance. What does the word inherit? In the Greek, it's the word yaresh, and translated, it means to possess legally. And when I'm in the place of inheritance and I'm inheriting everything that Jesus has for me, I stand as an heir. I stand legally as an heir. I have that authority to possess and to inherit everything that he has for me, everything that he set out in his word for me. I just want to have a look at Moses quickly. Moses had been adopted by Pharaoh. He lived in Pharaoh's house. Legally, his inheritance was everything that Pharaoh had, because he was part of the family. He was part of the household of Pharaoh. But Moses turned his back on that, and he began to follow Jesus. Where are you wanting your inheritance to lie? What are you wanting to inherit? Is it the things of the world? Is it the things of the kingdom? Well, what would have happened if Moses stuck it out in Pharaoh's house and never fulfilled God's plan and purpose for his life? I often think about that. Let's look at David. In 1 Samuel 17:34, this is actually where I'm going. In 1 Samuel 17:34, the word of God, it says that David took on the lion and the bear. And later on, he slew Goliath. How could he do that? There's just no way possible in a natural means, a natural sense, that David could have done those things. The only way David could do that was he did it from a place of anointing. He functioned from a place of anointing. He functioned from a place where the Spirit of God was alive in his life. The Word of God is not fiction. It's not fiction. Everything that David did and everything that David set out to do is available to us. Saul was called of God, but he failed in his duty to obey God. I see Saul as the old church, a picture of the old church. And I see David as the new church. That's where God is taking us to. That's what I feel. He's taken us into a place of intimacy where the church will come out with revelation and power, a revelation and understanding of what God is wanting to do. A Davidic priesthood of believers. I believe with all my heart that's what our Lord Jesus Christ is raising up, and that's what he's wanting to do with each and every one of us here in this place today. Our devotion to Jesus is the springboard of everything. If your heart's not with him, if you're not devoted to him, forget it. Your walk's going to be empty. You're not going to feel him, you're not going to experience him, you're not going to see him in his word. I've got four reasons that I wrote down this morning on why Christians don't pray. And the first one is that we have a lukewarm heart for the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation 2 verse 4. I'm going to read it right from verse 1. To the angel, the messenger of the assembly, the church in Ephesus writes, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches in his right hand, who goes out among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. I know your industry and your activities, laborious toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special members of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. He has a church that accomplished much. They did all these things. The Lord commends them for everything that they did. But the one thing that he had against them was that they had lost their first love for him. And if you read further on, where he talks about it will take away their lampstand, he would take away their light. And I want to ask you today, have you lost your first love for Jesus? If you have, you need to come to a place of knowing him again. You need to come to a place of knowing Jesus. People, you know what? It's not going to get easier out there. It's not. But he wants every one of us here to stand strong. And the only way that I can do it, when my heart is burning for him, when I'm standing in that place of love for him. What kind of a marriage would Linnea and I have if I only met her once a week and it was for 5 minutes and I went off again? Look at your relationship with Jesus like a marriage. Do you have that intimacy with him? Are you communicating with him? Are you spending time with him? If not, then you need to start doing that. You've started out with a burning love for him. You once had a heart for him, but your zeal is gone. All our works are in vain unless we turn to Jesus. To have that relationship with him, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And then why don't we pray? Because we've perverted our priorities. Perverted priorities. Oh, I'll pray when I find the time. Come on. I've got plenty of time to wash the car, to clean the house. I'd rather go and eat out with my friends than spend time in God's presence. Sit in front of the TV for 5 or 6 hours watching a game. Or go shopping, spend your day shopping. We don't make time to pray. And it was the same in Noah's day. They had no time to listen to God. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want those little bits and pieces. He doesn't want a quick prayer here and there. It's a lame offering and it pollutes his altar. I've been praying and I've been asking Jesus to teach me how to follow him, to show me how to follow him. And the only way that I can do that is to come and kneel in his presence and to be quiet and to be still before him. You're not going to pray unless he becomes first priority in your life. I can motivate you. Anybody can come up here and we can motivate you on prayer and how to pray. But if Jesus is not your first priority, if he's not first place in your life, you're not going to pray. You probably hold out for a week or so and it'll fade away. I know in my own life when I've specified certain times to pray and to get into his presence, there's a million things that are going on. And Satan's like that. He'll keep you busy. He'll distract you. But when you turn a blind eye to that stuff, when you close your ear to that stuff, you know what? He'll eventually leave you alone. He'll leave you alone. And then we don't pray because we've learned to live without prayer. Wow. We don't pray because we've learned to live without prayer. We go to church and we listen to the word and we do our best and we think all is going to be well. And we think that that's the sacrifice that Jesus is wanting from us. We think that God is pleased with it. No daily prayer. No growing in communion with the Lord. You know what the word calls that? It calls us people strangers. We become strangers to him. In the day of judgment, what does the Lord say in the day of judgment? I never knew you. Sure. I don't know you. I never knew you. But Lord, we did all these things. But I don't know you. We've become dependent on the arm of the flesh rather than the Lord. And then fourthly, we don't pray because we don't believe God hears our prayers. We don't pray because we believe that God doesn't hear our prayers. We've become discouraged over unanswered prayers. And finally, and we come to a place where we just give up. We don't seek God. We don't pray anymore because we believe that he doesn't answer our prayers. Why should I pray? It doesn't work for me. Isaiah had the same problem with the Israelites in his day. If God has delayed answering, just maybe he's testing your heart. Just maybe he's wanting to bring you forth as pure gold. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of revelation, power, and authority. In his presence, I become like him. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. Jesus did what the Father showed him. Our will becomes his will. Sally brought a prophecy a few weeks ago about a flagship. Do you all remember that? Do you all remember the prophecy on the flagship? I want to ask you this morning, what does that mean for you? What does that word flagship mean for you? Do you know what flagship, what he's actually saying through that? It's the ship that carries the commanding officer. It's the most important, finest, and best equipped ship. It's equipped, it's ready for battle, it's got everything on board that's needed for the journey ahead. The flagship church is where Jesus is in command. Where is the church? Who is the church? We are. It's not the building. We come together in our corporateness, but we are the church. Are you going to be a flagship church for Jesus? Are you going to stand up and be different? Is Jesus going to take command of your life? Can you say today, here is my heart, you can have it all. Jesus, here is my heart, you can have it all today. Is Jesus really the commanding officer in your life, in your heart today? Jesus, here is my heart, you can have it all. Are you willing to do that? I'm asking you today, Jesus is asking you today, are you willing to do that? I know we've done that in times past. Jesus, here am I. I give you my heart, you can have it all. People, we need to come to a place of intimacy and knowing Jesus. That's the only way forward. It's the only way forward. Otherwise, in your personal walk with Him, you're going to end up going around in circles. A year down the line, you're going to find yourself in that same place. And you're going to look back and you're going to think, what happened? All that, you know, everything, all these years have passed by and nothing's changed. But Jesus can change you today. He can fulfill His promise and His word for you. All you need to do is give Him your heart. Can we all stand? I just want the worship team to lead us in the song, and let's all sing together.
Lord, Lord, I give you my heart. Give you
my
soul.
Sorry, started in the wrong key. Sorry. Let's just sing "This Is My Desire." Okay.
This is my desire.
Play harder, I can't hear that.
To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live.
Thank you, Jesus. Like David, learned to function out of a place of intimacy. That's why he was so successful in everything that he did. He worked out of a place of knowing. He worked out of a place of intimacy with his Father. Let's come to that place. Jesus functioned from a place of intimacy with his Father. Let's get to that place. And let's work out of that place of knowing Him. Amen? Amen. That song that we just sang now was a commitment of laying our hearts and giving our hearts to Jesus. You sang it to Him today. Let's live it out. Amen.
When we were singing that song and we were saying, Lord, it's my desire, God put on my heart that it's a choice. Desire is nice to say, but it's a choice. Are you going to choose to do it? And you have to actually say to God, I'm choosing, because it just changes the whole sort of dynamics. And then you, it's a responsibility and accountability that you are taking. I'm choosing to worship you. I'm choosing it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your awesome presence. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us, each and every one of us here this morning. We all have faults. We falter in many things. But I thank you today that as we come and that we lay our heart before you, as we give our heart to you 100%, that you'd speak, that you'd refresh, that you'd establish, that you'd make yourself known amongst us. We love you, Jesus, and we give you all the glory and all the honor in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a prosperous week.